it something in my brain. I need whiskey to ease the pain. But it's early in the morning, and I'm feeling bad again. But if you ever love me, you'll go easy on me now. Fix me up a cup of coffee, and in a while I'll come around. I think I'll spend the dog food money, but it'll love me just the same. And if you really love me, baby, help me scrape the mucus off my brain.
Rick's going to be charging.
He said just another Mucus Monday.
Obviously the volume control for that song was not working well. Yes, but here we are. It is the 2th of November. And 2nd of November.
Numero
due. It's a numero due of November. And dose, as some might even say. And here we are. This has been...
How about I?
I think we're done with that.
We're over. Hold on a minute, Ed. You're gonna hear a lot of this tonight.
As you can see, this is exactly why
globules.
This is the mucus show tonight. This is going to be an absolutely fantastic show.
I'm not breathing.
We don't know if Brian Brushwood's going to make it, because he is also under the heavy influence of mucus. So we'll see how that goes. He might be able to get back to us with his phone number and time.
Stu is influenced by the music.
Stu really was loving the music.
Yeah, he has a sudden urge to kick his dog and have relations with a cousin. That's some powerful influence.
Well, you won't have to kick the dog if you just spend the dog food money, because that's what was recommended in the song. So
the Bloodhound Gang.
Anyway, I need to say that this was one hell of an October for us.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is normally how the beginning of November is, because we are... Rick is wrapping latex around his entire body. That's really nice.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was an interesting thing. We had to go to Ilitch's last night for our last...
You had to go.
What was with that sign on the coaster?
Well, it was on all the haunted houses, too, at Ilitch's.
Well, that makes
latex
sense.
Latex in use, you know.
Because of allergies.
Yeah. So, but... I never was I slapped by a condom the entire time we walked through any of those, or really anything latexy.
They flashy-thinged you afterwards. And
did they flashy-thing me? I didn't notice. I want my money back. So, well, thank you, Reap. Yes, we are carriers of the swine flu.
Yes, we are.
That's why we're wearing these little little buttons with the pig on.
I wish I were wearing those little masks.
But we went and we had to pay $10 for parking, and then we finally got into the park after Brian was patted down because he carries many knives with him.
I could not convince him to let me in.
No, you couldn't.
And then I harassed him because I knew they were going to try and take them. So you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but
you got them all back.
Well, see, Brian's thing is...
Did you do inventory?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Before and after?
He did. Oh, he has them well inventoried, that's for sure. He knows exactly what he's going on. But he never knows when he's going to have to carve a turkey. So you've got to have that shit with you. So it's very important. But yeah, so after Brian lost about 40 pounds in knives,
we were able... all naked.
Yeah, we were able to get into the park. And Brian was quite grumpy about that. He didn't understand how the possibility he could shank a kid would be a problem.
Or
but,
a zombie.
Yeah. So there's no such thing as zombies, though. So we get in there, and the line is horrific. And the first thing that we learn is that we have to pay.
Again?
Yeah,
again.
It's another $5 per haunted house to get in.
So we're like, what the... Yeah, exactly. This is ridiculous.
I'm glad I didn't go.
So we
twice
went over
now,
and we
kind of
threw our importance around a little bit, you know, like
yeah, we
tend
did.
To do. Damn it, we are here doing you a favor. And you were
on the last day.
Yeah. By showing up, we're
by
doing
showing up the day after Halloween, we're
that's
doing
right,
you a goddamn
right.
favor
right.
by having our stinky asses here, so you better let us in free. And of course, they ran around panicked. They acted like we were really somebody. It was
well,
great.
You were, and I know you were shocked that it worked.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it worked big time. We had management just running.
Yeah, smooching our behinds big time. And so
after you paid the $5?
We didn't pay the $5.
But you paid $38?
We did not pay $38.
We paid $10 to park.
Okay, $10 to park, but what about those other tickets?
We didn't pay for those.
We didn't pay for anything else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were supposed to, but we weaseled our way.
And we just walked our asses in. And of course, you know.
I've done that at Elegis, too.
We're sick. You know,
yes,
from,
you are
from
sick.
The entire month, we're sick. And it was really warm when we got there, so we didn't wear jackets in, thinking
because
we're going
you're men.
In. Well, we're going inside.
No, that's just a guy thing.
Well, no. If I'd known
it's
that
Elegis.
It was all going to. Well, yeah, but I thought the haunted houses were going to be inside. You know what I mean?
You have to get to them.
Right, but it was warm.
It was nice.
In. It was really nice.
Then we didn't think we were going to spend the night.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we thought
they
we
are going to die on the Day of the Dead.
You know, we could just have some big play to shut up, I think, would be good. Anyway.
Ooh, we should have played Dead Man's
it's
Party.
Oh, yeah, we should have. We should have. That's true.
I forgot how to say so. Grumpy. Agredado or something like that.
Are you feeling grumpy?
You are. Go ahead.
You know?
I'm shut
don't,
up.
Don't project. You're
I'm
projecting.
Up.
You're projecting.
I'm trying to listen.
Be nice. We'll breathe on you.
You're projecting.
You're already breathing
because
on
I'm
me.
Not. I'm not grumpy at all.
You're on a roll.
Okay. So anyway, we get in there and then we see the haunted house and they put us in the VIP line.
Yeah.
And they stick us behind some screaming girls.
Well, it was really funny because at the first one, they're the second one. The guy's like. Well, do you want to go behind somebody? And we're like, yeah, that way we could watch their reactions. And then as we're waiting in line, he's like, you got to come back here because I found the group you need to follow. It's all these scared girls.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's where we want to be, behind
exactly.
the scared girls.
That's perfect. Because there's nothing more fun than watching their idiot reactions. It's perfect.
Oh, and they were, too.
So I loved when they kept on turning around trying to run the other way.
Yeah.
Like the monsters behind weren't going to stop them.
I accidentally ran over them a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, they deserved it. I'm sorry,
but,
I'm wheezing here.
But as the story continues, the. What would you call him? Operator of the haunted houses?
The operator, yeah.
decides to come out and tell us about the other events they have going, which is some sort of a.
Well, should we talk about the haunted houses at all?
Oh, I guess we could.
Yeah, I
they were good.
The first one
well, yeah,
it was so-so, but it seemed like the first one had a bigger line.
It did.
But and it was okay. I mean, it had a few things that were all right. I mean, we really got tainted, I think, from City
yeah,
of the
we
Dead,
did.
And in a good way.
Yeah.
So we were tainted well. So that was good. The second one was better. They had some gimmicks I hadn't seen before. It wasn't as elaborate and as stick-to-itness of the theme as City of the Dead, but I would say that it was a much better haunted house. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the better ones, actually.
I was pleased. But yeah, when we walked out, he said, there's a show called White Noise going on.
And it's right after our Dancing Zombies Marathon.
Right, right.
Snookykin wants the call-in number.
555-1212.
Snookykin, are you who we think you are? I'm curious. Ouch. Can you private message Snookykin on there?
Okay, let me do that.
That would be the easy thing to do. And then find out if that is our lovely Brian. So anyway, we go and we watch this White Noise show.
Where's my private message thing?
Scam School Brian, there he is. He changed his name.
Yep.
Oh, so yeah. Well, we already know now.
Well, yeah, but so can you send him the phone number? Okay, go ahead. Because I don't want everybody to have it.
Hold on a minute. Make
I know,
sure
I know. He's not getting it to me.
Okay, well, it's 720.
No. Oh, yeah, if you're going to announce it. No, I can't get to the private. I was trying to find private.
Okay,
well,
maybe
I can do it.
I'll do it from here. Maybe that's what we can do. This is, like, so difficult.
Oh, yeah, you're in a private chat right there.
Yeah, private chat.
Yeah, but how do I get to him?
You're
I'm used to having a screen
him.
Where I can.
That's, it
all
won't
right.
be up. See, watch, 720.
No, see, he was in it. I'm not.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. I know.
Taken care of. I know everybody got really confused there for a moment. So anyway.
We ought to hold this story back till he's
with us. Yeah, we'll finish it here in just a moment when... When
he's checking email.
Well, don't check your email, Brian.
private.
Brian, at the bottom of the chat room, there's a little tab. It's flashing green at you. Click on it.
Yeah, you'll see something green there, right to the right of where it says where it says Maine. You should see it. So anyway, green flashing thing. Is it flashing? I don't know.
Well, it's kind of flashing.
I think it's just kind of green. I don't know if it flashes or not, but. It should say from St. Ringo. You should see St. Ringo there. That's me.
Oh, my gosh. 10:50.
Yeah, as I was... Paranormal Activity was...
better as the original cut?
The original cut was a lot better than what you saw in the kind of like Nuclear Mucus. Yes, Steve, that's right. But no, it was... we saw the original of Paranormal Activity, and what the studio did to it was a travesty. So
it was a complete travesty, but
it was travesty-like.
Yeah. Okay, if we are going to talk about this wonderful magic-esque show that we watched,
well, what we should do is talk about what we did. Right. Oh, wait a minute. We have a phone call. Let's see who it could be.
Hopefully, it's from someone legit.
Be a bill collector.
Someone legit.
Yeah, because you keep getting a lot of phone calls.
That's true. I do get hello.
Greetings.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I know that voice.
In my throat.
Yeah, welcome
cough
to the club.
Cough it out.
You sound like you're doing just fine.
Hey, are you guys going to call Justin Robert Young as well?
Yes, we are.
Fantastic. I just got into the room and turned it on, and I heard you guys starting to talk about the white noise thing, which you know I'm super interested in.
Us too.
Yes. No. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And
do we have a webcam going?
We don't have a webcam going right now. No.
I'd show it to him.
No. Yeah. We Brian did get a screenshot of it, but so yeah, we were very concerned because as soon as this this guy started telling us about what it was like.
Before you go into this, would you explain to him that in order to see this, because we were worried about him,
we waited
an extra hour in the ice cold
on
a roller coaster.
Okay, I'll tell him. Okay. So we get out of the haunted houses. And it's freezing cold there, and for some reason or another, we big, burly men didn't have coats. we're told about this show, you know, this white noise show, and we're like, wait a minute, Brian Brushwood needs to know about this, because this could be a real
problem. Yeah, okay. So wait a minute, so this wasn't a case where you just stumbled across it, but you smelled trouble, and
exactly.
Like the Bloodhound Gang, you were there on the double.
Yes,
you were. To solve the crime of the stolen routine.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
So here's what we did. We went, we checked the times, and it was a little over an hour before it was going to show. So we thought, well, we heard there was a little bit of an exhibit over by the old wooden roller coaster, so we walked over there. Turns out the exhibit was gone, but by the time we realized that, we were already in line for the roller coaster. So we had to go get in the roller coaster. And
40
neither,
degrees out.
Neither Brian or me are very small guys.
Or smart in terms of getting out of line.
So we, hey, there's fences all around. We couldn't just get out of line. So
whatever.
So we got squished into the car, and you know, then they have to crunch that thing down on you. And we basically got the snot beat out of us in this old roller coaster.
Well, both of us have bronchitis to start with.
Yeah, we're both deathly sick and with no coats, and it was like 35 degrees. So we just want you to know that we did all of that for you because we love you.
Well, good. It sounds like it paid off, though.
When we were watching it, it was like, I wonder if that CD is, like, actually Brian's and they somehow stole it from him.
Oh, now that would be interesting. That's really interesting.
What's his footage
look like? When you first described it, it sounded to me like, well, this seems like the kind of thing some hack magician would throw together, but you made it sound like it was an actual Six Flags production. It was an actual Six Flags show.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this guy was a hack, but I think he was hired by them. to just come in and do these short little things, because nobody was charging money, or they weren't even tipping. No, I mean, they weren't even eliciting tips, you know, passing the hat or anything afterwards.
The bride
The bride was?
Yeah. Well, unintentional.
I know she was getting attention, but I didn't think she got any tips. So I'm pretty sure the park was paying them for what they were doing.
But you didn't know, like, the guy didn't say who his name was, or there wasn't any signage that indicated who it was?
He did not introduce himself at all, but we will find out exactly who he is. We've got our connections down there that we're going to work.
Please do, because let me tell you, that's one thing, you know, one of the weird things about magic is that we don't have copyright law, because you can't copyright the heart of a routine, you can copyright the words. Well, we don't have patent. You can patent a device, but of course, to patent it, you have to reveal the method to everyone else.
Right.
The one thing that we have is a set of gentlemen's rules where we keep each other in check, where people will say, no, that's so-and-so's routine. You need his permission to do it.
Right.
And every so often, somebody crosses the line, and in fact, there's an interesting case of this. Somebody ripped off shot for shot Marco Tempest, the virtual magician, one of his bits, and Marco put together a somewhat vindictive video comparing side by side, shot for shot, you know, his original from 4 years ago, then the new one side by side, and really called him out. And you know, if it's something like that, you know, if there's one thing the magic community is good at, it's picking sides and shaming people who cross the line, you know, rip off other people's material.
Right. Yeah, this definitely, I mean, just from the description of it, we were like, uh-oh, this is a Brian Brushwood thing. And
when you played the haunted video, do you remember any of the things that you saw during it, like the images that were in the haunted video?
Yes, there was a car that you could see from behind going down the road.
Okay. Tell them it looked like a bunch of 1950s to 60s family
home movies. It was kind of a 1950s to 60s kind of family home movie clips kind of put together with a little bit of snow in between them.
Huh. It sounds different from what I call together. Because you got to understand, like, everything from my version of EVP was literally built from scratch. The method was developed, all the videos, even the haunted video, I cobbled together out of random clips myself. And certainly that pacing, that playing it once, nothing happens, play it again, something goes with the cell phone, play it a third time with the backwards, with the sucker punch, all of that is note for note the way I developed a routine over 4 years and thousands of performances. What a pisser to just hear somebody just took a giant fat steaming dump on my hard work.
It was not done well at all. You know, I mean, comparatively, I mean, we've seen clips of you pulling yours off. We haven't got to see the whole thing, of course.
Well, yeah, like, you can see the whole thing because it's online. It's part two of the Scam School New York Magic Show.
Really?
In fact, let me do this. Let me actually grab the URL and I'll post it up in the chat room.
You guys. Excellent. Yeah, we would love to see that because we actually haven't seen the whole thing. But yeah, we would like to be able to compare it a little bit there, but we will find out exactly who this guy is. I know, even though he was wearing makeup, I know exactly what he would look like without it. He's pretty easy that way, but
yeah, imagine it would be pretty easy for someone just to call and say, you know, hey, we really dug that magician. We might want to hire him. What was his name again?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking about.
And get
doing
some contact information.
I'll get that tomorrow.
Well, the good thing is that we kind of got the management there thinking that we're important.
And oh, really?
So we'll be able to walk right in. Now, get your tongue out of your cheek when you look at me like that.
I
know
that
look. That's
the link right there in the chat room.
Perfect.
There you go. I posted it twice, so I look extra spammy.
I haven't seen it come up yet.
Do you guys have the technological means to get Justin Robert Young on the same line, or do you have to go in series, one and then the other?
We'll have to go. We're just poor little people here. We'll have to go in series. So we'll give him a call here after a bit. Yeah, you know, to be honest, we really don't want to talk to him that much anyway. So.
No, you actually should, though. He's the one who actually sold. I mean, like, you know, he and Andrew, I showed up very last minute for the seance, which, by the way, you guys did a great job, and I love the fact that we were able to get remote viewing of what you're up to. All of a sudden, I realize remote viewing doesn't mean what it used to. But I loved seeing all the other seances going on everywhere, and for something that was thrown together so last minute, I literally got off the plane only 2 hours before we started that thing, and I swooped home and threw on a tuxedo and got, you know, fired up the studio system, and I just couldn't believe everything didn't crash. We had over 10,000 people over the course of that, hang on, Andrew Main's calling. Andrew Main.
Yeah, we had about 15 minutes, I think, to get it thrown together. We had so much going on the entire weekend, everything. So we got there and got everything set up. We didn't even have a Ustream account, and we just barely got on in time. And thank God everything was working. Thank Houdini for helping
exactly
us make this work out the way it did.
Let me do this. You're not going to believe it, but Andrew Main just called, and I could get Jeff Robert Young on the line as well, and I could call you back in about 20 seconds, and you could have all three of us on the line.
That's cool. Perfect.
All right, let me do that. I'll call you right back.
Okay, bye.
All
right.
That boy was out of town.
Well, that's nice. That'll work quite well. And I'm still talking into the phone mic like someone's going to hear me.
Uh-oh, breaking news.
Okay.
It's an iPod. I got to wait.
Sorry about that.
Oh. Sure, after.
That's part of the show.
Sorry, not breaking news.
But anyway, yeah, we had a crazy week. We had Karen Stoll's now got into town on Thursday. And
she went back to sleep last night.
Exactly, pretty much. It was just exhausting. But we had the Peter Boyle Show Thursday night. We had the Peter Boyle Show Friday morning. We had lectures up at the Brook Forest Friday night. We had the huge party Saturday. It was just one thing after another. And then, of course, we got to... yes, some NyQuil would be nice.
NyQuil's for wimps.
Did the Elitch's thing last night. And, you know, Brian and I are just laughing our asses off on that roller coaster
about how
absolutely stupid it was. And we're dying to go back tonight to do it again. So, I don't know. I'm amazed. I have a phone call. I'll answer it. Hello, you're on the air. What is the answer?
Hold on 1 second. Let me merge the calls. Andrew Main, Justin Robert Young.
Hello.
you're on live with Brian Beck for Warning Radio.
Oh, this is not going to be a fucking mess at all.
Technology, nothing can ever go wrong.
Exactly.
They all sound alike.
Exactly. Well, we definitely want to thank you guys for letting us be a part of that.
That was great.
On Saturday night, that was such fun. We had a blast in Denver doing that.
Oh, awesome. Thank you guys for participating. It was so much fun. It was just great to see. It was one thing to be, you know, a bunch of weirdos in the library, and then to look out on Ustream to see other weirdos doing the same thing was great.
Do you have...
And one just for our self-esteem, I mean, at the very least.
Yeah, it was very exciting. And for us, see, we live right near Phil Plate, and he won't answer our phone calls and emails, so it was really nice to get to talk to him through Houdini.
Yeah.
That worked really well for us.
Why do you guys is there like a beef with you and the bad astronomer?
No, actually, he says he really likes us. He just doesn't talk to us. I don't know. He's a busy guy. He's a really busy guy.
How many stars are in the sky? There are like hundreds. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's got to be at least four or 500, and he's got a lot of stuff to do. So.
He's counting them. So.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you the reason we were calling Brian, and you guys get to know this now too, and whoever's listening to this, medium. We had so much fun Saturday. Justin and I were saying, you know, we need to do this every Saturday. So, you know, what would be really cool that we could go do this Saturday? And do you guys know what this Saturday coming up is?
this Saturday is it is
the eighth,
the eighth, but it's also the Himalayan day of flatulence, I believe.
False.
Now I have no idea. Well, what are you talking about?
Well, the first part, the Saturday would be the 7th, but that's okay. You're forgiven for that.
Thanks, Brian.
That was okay. This Saturday is Carl Sagan Day.
Carl Sagan Day.
Really?
Okay.
That's awesome.
Carl Sagan Day. There's going to be a big Carl Sagan celebration down here in South Florida, and the Bad Astronomer himself, Phil Plait's going to come speak. They're going to have James Randi's going to talk. They've got a the guy who's head of astrobiology for NASA is going to be speaking. And we just talked in the day. We just about 20 minutes ago, we nailed it down. We're going to be streaming this thing live like we did the Houdini thing.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
So we're going to let's see what Brian's availability is to run mission control on this again. It's going to be a lot of neat speakers there. And so what it is, they're trying to start an annual Carl Sagan Day. So this is the first one that's being launched. And so we thought it would be great to put all the speakers and everything up like that this Saturday live.
We could broadcast from the house. I could put the telescope, and we could be the Rocky Mountain Paranormal.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
Astronomy department.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll do that. Yeah, we'll broadcast it live, and we'll also put up a telescope of our own. And yeah, this will be awesome.
Well, literally, like there is no end to the stuff that we can live stream. You know, like yeah. we are gonna scour the planet. And we're gonna live stream literally everything that comes across us. And if anyone has any problem with it, they can, they can deal with us.
Yeah.
Pagan days, Houdini seances, there's no end to it.
Well, we've been planning another event that's going to be sort of astronomical in nature. I don't want to get into details, but we thought this would be a pretty good test run of that. And so, you know.
Absolutely.
Carl Sagan was such an awesome guy. And we heard about the event. We're like, well, are you guys going to be live streaming? We're like, well... I'm like, all right, one or two. And I'm like, yes, please. So there you go.
No, that's absolutely awesome, and we would love to be a part of it. I also wanted to ask you, are you really solid on your date for doing your lake monster live test?
Do we have a specific date for it?
Yeah, and are you like you're really solid on that, or are you going to have some flexibility?
Oh, we have a lot of flexibility on that.
Okay.
Nope, totally rigid. We're locked and loaded.
Yeah.
No way we can negotiate when this thing's going to go on. Now, we're not sure what that date is, but whatever it is, we are non-negotiable.
Got it, perfect. Yeah. Well, hopefully that will fall in line because we are also going to be doing a lake monster investigation here in Colorado.
Oh, how original.
Well, we
why you keep telling
not with the show. We'll do it for them.
Oh, no,
so yeah, we actually have a couple of lake monsters here in Colorado, and this would be perfect.
I think our lake
well,
monsters.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you on a little part. Justin, should we tell them what we were planning on doing with our friends in Loch Ness? Sure. I think we should. This is what we're
going to
do. It's part of the plan for our lake monster expedition. Is we're going to have some friends of ours in Loch Ness. We're going to connect hydrophones to our lake monster and to their lake monster so potentially they can communicate. And if you've got a lake monster you're going to go look at, we can set this up so we can create the first ever massive global communication system for these lake monsters.
That is just fucking brilliant.
That's saving the lake monsters.
It is.
This would be ecological.
This is ecological, yeah. It's creating a service.
This is better than Earth Day.
This is better than Earth Day. I agree. This is amazing.
This is better than hugging a tree.
Yeah, screw those tree huggers.
This is far beyond that. We're saving
and
lake
just
monsters.
Imagine the business model on this. We hope these monsters is for free, and we're going to set up a real premium service.
Yeah.
For this lake monster communication.
Absolutely.
Well, lake monsters are a lot like. Well, the thing, they don't spend their money on anything.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
they're a lot like internet profitability.
Well, sure. That's true. But they don't spend their money on really anything, so they probably have a lot.
We can sell stock.
They're probably all sitting down there. I mean, not only they can sell their appearance rights to a magazine, and who knows
what all manner of sunken treasure and lost change is down there just hanging out.
We'll
get in on that action.
And we haven't even talked about the initial public offering of stock.
That's true.
Well, don't come on, man. Now you're getting nuts.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're probably right.
Too soon.
A little excited.
Come on, we're not in the realm of feasibility. Two Lonely Hearts monsters across the globe talking to each other because two weirdos flung phones down in the water. Let's keep it real.
Exactly.
Let's be realistic. Well, I think that we should totally do this.
Give me a beautiful moment.
I think it will be.
AM or FM?
Yeah, social pet working.
Can you just imagine the soft coos of two monsters? You know, just crooning out somewhere else.
They can loop at each other.
They're going to have their own lake, Dustin, in Loch Ness, and ours. We're going to have at least three lakes with monsters talking. It's going to be like a monster chat room.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, I think they're going to have like a Beastie Boys kind of rap to it.
We need to get Dr. Atlantis and Karen and all the monster people in there.
It's going to be just back and forth, 3 hours of,
if we do how old
are you? Are you a chick? How old are you? Are you a chick?
Yetis.
Total cop.
Send me a photo. I want proof.
ASL, and it's Age Sex Lake.
You know, the thing is I think another thing that would be great for this is to have some experts be able to weigh in on it. And we've got Dr. Atlantis, we've got Ben Radford, and we've got Karen Stolzno, all that do monster talk.
We have to have a panel
of experts.
They could be, a panel of experts.
Yes.
And I think that would be absolutely awesome to do that. But another point was brought up that if we do this for the lake monsters, we're going to start catching flack from the Bigfoot if we don't also do it for them.
We're not an equal opportunity We only go one at a time, and if Bigfoot, he's going to have to wait like everything else.
At some point, you got to account for the monster's initiative. You know, someone who just doesn't have to get up and go is not going to get the treat.
Well, so what you're saying is we should wait for them to actually request the service before we worry about...
I'm telling you that Bigfoot is shiftless and lazy. And, when he realizes that he's got a man up and make his own press, then we'll talk.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. That's
discrimination against the land. Land
against
beasts.
The land monsters?
Yes.
Well, we'll see how it plays out, because
God
if they are that way.
In all seriousness, we're doing the lake monster bars because we've got multiple independent sightings of the lake monster in this place. And if we can get some reliable multiple sightings of Bigfoot in a specific area, I am there the next day.
All right. Yeah, that's reasonable. That's reasonable.
Now, because this all is based off of the Scottish tradition.
Bringing in your experts, we absolutely want to do that. We've got some people who are some scientists in our area that we want to bring in and talk to. So we're thinking about doing kind of an all-day sort of event when we do this.
Oh, yeah.
And the seance was great for an hour. You know, that's how much good time you needed to talk to us. But we figured it's going to be, like I said, I've got the manual next to me for the underwater robotic vehicle that we're building. So we want to try and do this. I think that would be fantastic if you guys are doing a Lake Monster Expedition too, because I think it just increases the odds.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually have two lakes that have had a lot of sightings.
Yep.
So we'll have to decide which one is better.
You know what sucks about being, nowhere near a lake where there's a sea monster is I'm just going to sit in the hot tub and I'll be on the phone and do my best to listen for anything.
That's awesome of you. Brian, you're so amazing.
They do need to realize that because this is a Scottish tradition, they need to wear kilts.
I would actually love to see you just in the hot tub running the live stream, though. You're just like, wearing sunglasses at night in the tub, bubbling about.
I should get, at the very least, if you've got together a video podcast of the whole thing, well, I'll just get you a bunch of B-roll footage that's just me sitting in the hot tub, and then like every 5 minutes you come back and I'm just doing nothing there.
And for some reason, I imagine you having Huey Lewis playing.
And drinking one of those pina coladas out of a pineapple.
There we go.
That's really not funny. Oh, for the love of God. So are you guys sure that you called the right number?
Oh, I have no idea what happened. Brian just called me and said that
you know, these things, you know, I'm on the phone with people. That's how I react to any conversation.
So are you guys getting a lot of good feedback on the Houdini seance?
It's been great. For a couple of morons in rented tuxedos trying to wing their way through it, people have been very, very kind.
You know,
well, I mean, in fairness, I think Brian owned his.
Yeah, I didn't want to chime in with that, but that's true. Although I did get the dubious compliment of somebody writing me the next day asking if anyone else thought I looked like the devil in my tuxedo. But I guess that's because I had the black and red, and you guys were pimping the white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah. Nobody said bring a tux.
Yeah, you know,
No, but everybody, like, things have been so nice. I mean, like, on Twitter we've gotten some great feedback from it, and, you know, we've had even, like, after the fact, like, press inquiries and everything. So I think it really just kind of touched a really great nerve of, you know, it was a fun thing to watch, and, you know, I think Brian and I have talked kind of ad nauseum about how much of a miracle it was everything came together technically, because
it was for as many times as we thought we'd had everything under control and then just the plane explodes mid-flight, for us to out of nowhere just be like, well, I guess we got this plane, I guess I could be there in time to gas it up and take it into mid-flight, and to have nothing go wrong, literally nothing go wrong technologically the entire way, and then on top of that we're getting in random feeds from half a continent away, and to have everything work, I'm still, like, to me, that is the strongest evidence that Houdini was clearly there to make things happen.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, I was pretty impressed by the fact that, you know, I really took for granted Brian's effort on this, because, you know, Justin, you know, we've been here working on Planet and stuff, but, you know, Brian literally got off an airplane, you know, like, went through the door, I don't even think he said hello to his wife and kid, and just got sat down in front of the computer to set this stuff up.
It's literally true. I'm hearing trick-or-treaters downstairs. I'm like, oh, no, kid, the internet call.
Exactly, yeah. Ryan stiff-armed his child and says, shuffle off, Burden. I gotta go with some of Houdini on the internet.
I did mention to Brian and Baxter that we had over 10,000 unique viewers over the course of the seance, which I thought was very impressive for, you know, again, for us being a bunch of goofballs on the internet.
Well, I have to say, guys.
Go ahead.
I have to say that I did get a little bit of negative feedback, and that was from my mom. She thought that there wasn't enough of me.
You know, and I'll take the heat on that, because I did not know how good the connection was. The problem with Ustream, since our only input from you guys was a Ustream feed, there's some massive lag, so there's no way to really have any back-and-forth communication. So I muted the channel, which was why we had to have you write stuff down for us.
Right.
But I'll take all the heat. You can have your mom give me a call, and I'll apologize straight to her.
Okay, I'll talk to her about that. But yeah, the cross that we had to write the answer on is going to be going on eBay, so.
Right off.
I remember that. I remember looking at, like, you showed it, I'm like, is that a
And yes, I was using an iPhone with a Ouija board application on it. So yeah,
I thought that was very meta of you. Did you use the iPhone on the Ouija board?
Yeah, it wasn't working as well as I had hoped, but yeah, it was very exciting, and we were lucky enough to have Dr. Karen Stolzner with us operating the Ouija board with me. So I'm sure that had a large impact. It was just an excellent experience doing this with you guys.
You know, I was just kind of blown away between what we had at the JREF and what it appeared that you guys had there on the live feed. You know, just how many physical people wanted to show up for nonsense like this. It was really just, it was so awesome. And other people were kind of into this concept and wanted to take time out on Halloween, such a busy kind of party night, to be a part of it.
I've got a question for Brian and Baxter, because you know, obviously we had our own kind of goofy style where we tried our best to make everything into a hit, which I believe was Justin and Andrew's idea.
Oh, no, he had a lot of hits.
Let me rephrase that. We were very fortunate in that we had a lot of hits, and it occurred to me that some skeptics may have been put off that, you know, that it looked like we cheated or were participating in some humbuggery. What was the general vibe from the people on your end watching the performance?
the general vibe was that everybody was really loving it.
But we had a weird mix, too.
Yeah, we had a weird mix of people. We had skeptics, we had believers, we had everything there. But the thing is the way they looked at it was that you were doing a really good job of demonstrating how so many psychics make connections that aren't really there to maintain their hits. And it was just a really... It was a comedic way of doing it, and it came off good.
I take umbrage, sir. These were genuine connections, and I think that your interpretation is far more clever than we are capable of. Shows you the inherent fallacy.
Actually, I stopped listening as the moment that you said that they liked it. I was just thinking about how awesome that was that they liked it.
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, you probably saw in a couple of those clips when everybody was laughing, and it really came off well. Now, I, of course, saw that everything was very authentic. This was just, you know, some of the more skeptical people were, you know, skeptical about your conclusions. But I was there with you 100%. I was amazed.
I will be 100% honest, and I'm sure Justin will back me up on this. We really, really, really wanted everything to hit. We really, really wanted this to work. And our rationalizing of our hits was perhaps fueled in part by that desperation. You know, it wasn't as if we said, well, what would a couple of those believers do? We were just some sincere people who really wanted it to be true and were trying to make the best out of whatever we could.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's probably how it works on that side of the equation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well. Absolutely. And no matter what you were looking at on Saturday night was proof positive display of three attention whores in monkey suits chucking and jiving for a good time.
And it was beautiful.
Like, and that is without dispute.
Yeah,
you know, and maybe that's why we had so much success, because, you know, you have the scientists, the skeptics, the magicians. None of them spoke to Houdini and his spirit and what he represented, quite like the idea of three attention whores trying to get his attention. So maybe he offered something to him that nobody else did.
I think so.
We did always say that, you know, that he would talk to a skeptic or a magician like him, but I guess we really did leave out attention whore, which Houdini very much was, so...
Yeah, I think it was a very good approach, and at the very least, it was incredibly entertaining, that's for sure. We had a great time doing it, and I can tell you that we are on board for anything else you guys want to do. If you want to have us so you can check in on our contingency here, we will be 100% behind you and participating, so keep us in mind.
Awesome. Well, I've got... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
we not only are very, very gracious for your participation in this and any of our future projects, but also, of course, weirdthings.com, man. The party doesn't stop every single day. We got new posts. And if you guys are editing yourself, make sure you let, me and Andrew know so we can get it up on the site. Because
great.
That's definitely, it's a great resource. And, you know, if you guys liked what you saw on the seance, you're going to love the stuff that we have up there every single day.
Well, this has been great for us because we've been huge fans of Brian Brushwood for quite a while. And Scam School is something that we're...
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, I recommend people check out Scam School. It's absolutely awesome, and then you guys might want to consider that as well. But we've been fans for a long time, and this was actually the first time that I've been introduced to Andrew. And Karen Stolzno is telling me that she really likes Andrew and the way he performs and does things and everything. So, yeah, that's what I say.
And actually, that's one of the things. Since we had Andrew on the line, you know, Andrew is a longtime insider with the development of magic ideas. And Justin, of course, also helps out over at iChurch.com, the number one magic news site. And I was actually wanting to see if I could ask them where I should proceed. Like, you know, you guys have seen magical controversies shake out where one magician rips off another magician.
Right.
And Brian Baxter did some gumshoe crackerjack journalism and actually found somebody at, what was the park again?
It was Six Flags Elitch Gardens here in Denver.
Right, and basically there's something to it.
Elitch Gardens?
Yes.
Yes. the Elitch Gardens.
Yep.
And apparently there's somebody there doing, like, bit for bit, moment for moment, note for note, a sad photocopy of the EVP routine.
What's this person's name?
Including the name of the show.
Apparently they're Crackerjack. Crackerjack journalism did not go that far. But
yeah,
they promised to get on it.
By tomorrow, we'll know.
Yeah, we'll know by tomorrow, but he did not announce his name. He just got up and started doing it, so... But
somebody from the crowd?
No, it was someone
like
hired by the park.
They had a booth, and you walked in to watch the show, and the guy who ran that booth... You know, it was like one routine per venue, basically. But, like, how does that stuff shake out usually, Andrew?
As far as, you know, when you find out somebody's doing your stuff?
Yeah.
Pipe
wrench in the dead of night.
Exactly.
One solution, it depends. I mean, when somebody's using, if they're using your material and all that, you do have a copyright on that material. And one thing you can do is that you can certainly contact the people that hired them and say, listen, I'm the creator of this material. I'm a producer of the show. This is from my show. I've been told that a performer here is using this material verbatim, which is a copyright on me. Please desist. That is the worst thing in the world you want to have is the person who's hired you, you know, come to you and say, we've been told that you stole this material. Is this any truth to this or whatever?
Interesting.
You can go to the person directly or whatever, but, you know...
Do you want to start at the person's employer or go to the person first?
It's entirely... What would you do, Andrew? Let's say it was you in this position. How would you handle it? Well, I started early off with some stuff that other people wanted to do, and so I just sold my stuff to anybody who wanted to do it.
Whore.
That is an option as well, but it's that, you know, I don't know. I don't know if the guy's got the coin for it.
Can I say which top magicians were interested in this effect?
Absolutely.
Brian
Penatella, Chris Angel, all of them expressed.
Oh yeah. And so, you know, you've been very, you know, careful about this and how it's out there, so it's certainly a different situation. I think the first thing to do is to contact the person and ask them politely to say, listen, this is my thing. I'm very proud of this. I've been approached by other people and I want to hold on to this. You know, if you please not do it. That's the best way to do it, is to go there. If he's cool about it, he'll not do it. You know, if he's not, then an option there is you contact the people producing the show. But I always take the direct approach to go right to the person and just talk to them.
Well, we will have that information for you tomorrow, Brian. We'll have both the employer and the person's name. So
yeah.
We'll get everything we can and help you out on this because, yeah, we don't approve either because, you know, you wouldn't give it to us. So.
Brian, do you remember one of our first conversations?
Yes, well, and that's the other thing that made me think this was kind of a special thing. You know, early on, Andrew developed a close-up routine called Ghost Vision,
yep,
where the effect is that you make a ghost appear on somebody's cell phone.
Uh-huh.
And that's how sensitive magicians are about this kind of thing. Just knowing that somebody else is, you know, working, you know, in tandem or working parallel to you, developing the same kind of material. You know, we got on the line. That was actually the first time we ever talked on the phone. And it turns out that we were using completely different methods and they were appropriate for completely different performances. Mine was something you could do on stage for hundreds of people. His was something you could do one-on-one with their phone in your hands. And they both produced essentially different moments. And so there was no conflict. But even then, everyone says, are you ripping off him? Is he ripping off you? And we had to say, no, it's, you know, we're, to quote Justin Robert Young, we're both viceroys in the kingdom of awesome. And
of course, Brian's like, after I talked to him, he's like, listen, you're going to get a package without a return address in your mailbox. Throw it away.
After the fact, right?
Very nice. Brian, I wanted to ask you, about, well, let me back this up a little bit. I wanted to thank you for posting that letter that Teller had sent you.
That was beautiful.
We're inspired. Oh, yeah. It was a pleasure for me just to run across that thing. I was like, son of a bitch.
Incredibly.
This is the outline for my career.
Yeah, it was incredibly inspirational. And I think what we'll do, just to make sure we have an audience next week, maybe we'll read that to the audience. Because that was such a great letter, and it was so inspirational that I really have to thank you for posting that.
If you really want to thank someone, thank Teller, because he's the one who gave permission to put it out there to the world. I mean, first of all, I guess thank him 15 years ago for sitting down and banging out those kind of words to somebody he'd only met once after a show, and then put 15 years of interest on that thank you to him, and then mail it in a perfume-scented envelope to him.
No, that was amazing. Now,
how he actually received all of his correspondence, by the way. That's mandatory, no matter what. Just build something.
Now, do you have a relationship with Teller now?
Yeah, we've kept in touch by email correspondence over the years, and it's been in the last few years that I've been in a position to drop in and, you know, have a bite to eat from time to time. But it makes me, seeing how many people reacted to that, it makes me want to kind of go through and see if there are any other letters over the years that had some equally brilliant advice. But certainly, you know, for impact, just that first one, you know, you always remember your first. Okay.
Yeah. You know what you should do, and just as like a silly thing next time you publish one of those, is tell your friend who runs a magic block. How silly thing to maybe think about.
Maybe give him a warning that's like, hey, I've got this correspondence with me and a super famous important magician from 15 years ago where he pretty much lays out all the secrets of success.
That would be viewed as like catnip to a young readership on a magic blog. Here's a heads up.
So, like, the day we published that, I just got a text from Justin that just, like, at 2 in the afternoon, which I guess when he woke up. You're killing me. The three words, you're killing me. I felt terrible.
Appropriately
so.
It was brilliant, though. I mean, the letter was brilliant. And I think, you know, since Teller spends so much time being silent, I don't think a lot of people realize the brilliance that man has.
If you meet him in person, he is quite loquacious.
Ah, cool. Well, hopefully we'll get to do that soon.
Well, hopefully they got a drug for that now to clear that up.
The only word that's appropriate, all right?
A little topical cream and he'll be fine. Yeah. We're about ready to get out of here, guys. We so appreciate this little party line call we got going here. This was awesome.
Absolutely.
And I mean, to get to talk live to you three is absolutely an honor, and it was an honor to get to do Saturday night with you guys and the live streaming thing. So we really appreciate it.
I do have a question from the audience.
Notor's got a question from the audience.
We have a question from the audience. We need to know which one is the one who was not in the straitjacket.
That would be Andrew.
That was Andrew Maine. The one that was in the straitjacket and looked like Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, that was Justin Robert Young.
I think it's always more of a sound like Charlie Day.
Look more like a hobbit.
Look and
well,
sound
Andrew,
like him.
Just want to let you know you have smitten one in the audience. Apparently you psychically connected. And so I'm just passing that on to you.
Very nice.
Oh my God. It's got another thing all of a sudden. Hit number 11.
Very nice. Very
Houdini
nice.
Houdini with the delay.
From yeah. Zero to hello.
This is the Houdini dateline.
If only I'd let Justin strap me into the straitjacket.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the smitten one would have liked to have put you in the straitjacket.
If she had had her whip.
Ooh, whip. All right. Well,
that's the thing. It's like, you're kind of like, put him in the straitjacket. But is that necessarily a real sexual device? Has anyone ever been like, last night,
you YouTube videos I've seen are to be believed. They are.
All right. Well, we gotta let you guys go now. time to go. I don't know who the hell's been looking in my closet, but. Yes, I own a straight jacket.
Yeah, I got to say there is a straight jacket.
I'm trying to Google Sasha Gray straight jacket as fast as I possibly can.
I mean, just because I own a straight jacket and I'm not an escape artist doesn't mean anything.
So is Andrew single?
Andrew, are you single?
Oh, yes, unfortunately. Yes.
Is that a recent thing?
Only to his craft and his devotion to the art.
Ah, yeah, gotcha.
I probably should ask orientation, but I'll leave that off the air.
What does that mean?
Yeah, orientation. What do we got there?
I'm a big fan of the ladies.
All right.
A fan of the ladies.
Okay.
A fan of but is that who you go after? Are the ladies? Because you were the one that put the straight jacket on.
Who you accept after a six pack and a lonely night?
Exactly.
He knows how to restrain his competition.
Oh, sorry, they told me to, so I'm hitting a burlesque escape artist here.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, well, the show's completely gone down the shitter on this side, so.
No. He said he's straight.
The person heard the message loud and clear. There's already talk of pictures.
Okay. You're going to be getting pictures on Facebook, I guess. Okay. All right.
Excellent.
Well, we'll see how that goes. Well, keep us up to date. And
we're out of it from now.
Yeah.
Once they start connecting, we're through.
It's out of our hands once Facebook comes into it. So
there you go.
This is the first connection on the Houdini Dateline.
Yes.
I think that this is
Houdini inspired. He brought them together.
It is very nice. Very nice.
I did feel a hand on my thigh during the seance, and I was afraid that was Justin. I was hoping, you know, it was something supernatural. Hoping it was Houdini. I know, not that that's any better, but.
Well,
a better Houdini, though.
Yeah.
At least you're bragging right out of that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I if it had turned out to be Houdini, I don't know, I might be able to be swayed. You know, I mean, because that's his best special thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's better than
anything. Get over to the beast per Houdini's ghost. I get it. Oh, I'm not into man-on-man action, but as long as they're dead and doing it from beyond the grave, please, bring it on.
Very nice. All right, you guys, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much. I hope we get to do this again soon, and I can't wait for us to be able to participate in something ridiculous
do. We're busy people. Have your sea monster call our sea monster. We'll set up the meeting, and we'll see what we can make happen.
Exactly.
Well, remember, this Saturday, Carl Sagan Day, so... you know, we'll be doing that if we can figure out a way to get other people to participate or whatever we can do. But we'll put some stuff up on weirdthings.com about that. So,
Excellent.
Everybody else.
Count us in.
Cool. Yeah, no, we're gonna start banging the drum pretty hard on that one. So, Sagan Day, mark it on your calendar. It's Sagan Saturday. So, please, tell the kids and get everybody together.
Nice. Excellent. All right. Thank you, guys. You guys have a good night. And get well, Brian.
Yeah, we'll do it. Thanks, guys.
Have a good one.
See you, guys. Great talking to you.
Bye-bye. Ah, God, I'm glad to get rid of those guys. No, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. I'm so glad Reed wasn't listening, though, because that was probably one of the biggest confused messes we've had in a while.
The thing about the straight jacket, they said don't go find the video.
Uh-huh.
All I know is under the tags is burlesque, Christmas story, and Muppet.
Very nice.
I haven't even been able to play anything, and it sounds interesting.
I'm trying
to find the straight jacket here.
Oh, so we've actually got an exit song that's dedicated to Reap tonight.
Oh.
So that will be
a song dedicated to Reap.
It is.
All right.
So I think he'll enjoy that. We'll get that going here in a moment, though. What else do we need to cover? I mean, we had our crazy weekend. Our November is finally over. Our October is over. So now November can soothe our wounds a little bit. We did have that excellent Channel 4 news spot.
Yeah, go over to KCNC.com. Just search for
Brian Baxter. You'll find us.
Paranormal or Yak and Yeti.
Well, the thing is it was, you know, usually when you're on the news, it gets spun somehow. And this was a nice one that it actually didn't get spun. You know, they portrayed us pretty close to how we are, and that was nice. So, yes, Reap, you did good mouth me. I appreciate it.
That was Mark. Thank you
very much. Who was Mark?
About good mouthing him.
No, that was Reap.
Now. Mark started that.
Well, I'm just saying that. Yes, Reap, you did good. What, I'm saying it was Mark. Mark and I have never kissed in public. All right.
I thought you were going to bring the show back up.
From what?
Before we headed out.
Yeah, from where?
No, I'm not bringing it
up. Now they're not fighting over you. So before they were fighting over you, now they're busy trying to let you all go.
That's okay. After they hear the song dedicated to Reap, it'll pretty much...
Oh, yeah, the song dedicated to Reap.
Yeah, besides, I'm spoken for. So.
By Reap?
No, not
yes,
by Reap.
By Reap.
Not by Reap.
Reap put the mark on it.
By one of his California neighbors, though. So, at least I hope to be spoken for. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, Lord.
My fingers are crossed.
Duck. Now we got angst.
We got who?
Angst.
This isn't... this
love
is,
angst.
It's
angst.
This is not a straight jacket. This is a winter jacket.
With mittens.
I have a burlesque act with a winter jacket and mittens. This has got to be the dumbest
you
thing
have to, okay, so I got to put that address up.
All right, you put that address up. I'm going to end this show. We are looking forward to having Karen come back out in mid-November.
Yeah, we are.
Hopefully we'll be doing a Stanley Hotel investigation.
Hopefully we will.
Yeah, and we'll be taking Reed with us on that.
Hopefully we will.
Hopefully we will.
In his Dharma outfit.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. He's part of the Dharma Initiative, or whatever they called it.
So. You've got a song now.
Very nice. Very nice. All right.
Don't worry, Reap. It's much worse than that.
Yeah, this song is
much
worse than
that. Or he had on snow boots.
And I think that's a she.
All right. I'm shutting you guys up. We're going to end this travesty.
Sorry, we're watching the burlesque.
All right. Reap, love you. Karen, love you.
Love you guys. Bye.
Have been shed. Maybe the whiskey's gone to my head. But if I were gay, I would give you my heart. And if I were gay, you'd be my work of art. And if I were gay, we would swim in romance. But I'm not gay, so get your hand out of my pants. Don't see myself in you. Another time, another scene, I'd be right behind you. If you know what I mean, 'cause if I were gay, I would give you my soul. And if I were gay, I would give you my whole being. And if I were gay, we would tear down the walls. Not gay, so won't you stop cupping my hand? We've never hugged, we've never kissed. I've never been intimate with your fist, but you have opened brand new doors. Get over here and drop your